The Hauser Man is here. Tom Hauser with us, Channel 5, Channel 45, WCCO Radio. Tom is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chad. And you, this, what it be, 5 days until Election Day?
Here we go. Tell people how the coverage will be on Channel 5 for you and your entire team.
Well, we'll be wall-to-wall starting at about 4:30 in the afternoon, and then between us and ABC News, we'll be on until who knows how late.
That's correct. That is correct.
We might just be on until mid-November. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we start here at 8 o'clock. Carter's going to join me. Blois is going to join me. Plenty of others. So all sorts of local options to check out. Who knows? If you're in a break, we'll try to squeeze you in. But I know you're very busy at Channel 5. Let's start with the garbage comment. Dave, do you have it? I should have told you to get it lined up. For anybody who missed it, here's what Joe Biden said. By the way, this is while his vice president, the Democratic nominee, about 100 yards away, is giving what they're calling the close, right? This is how she's going to close, as I just pointed out, Tom. I have a tough time with it being a closing event when there's a week left, you know, at the time. But here's what Joe Biden said on a Zoom call with other supporters of the vice president.
And just the other day, a speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know the Puerto Rican that I know, or Puerto Rico where I'm in my home state of Delaware. They're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization of seen as unconscionable.
This is the president confused. I get it. He's trying to reference the comedian, but he doesn't sound sharp. He sounds like the person that a lot of us saw for a couple of years. And then let's get to the key point. He does call the supporters of Donald Trump garbage. He does. Now, they've tried to walk it back. They've talked about an apostrophe. They've tried to clarify it. She separated herself from the president today, Kamala Harris did, when she landed for another event. Tom, most years in an election, when the president who's stepping away and he's supporting his vice president, when a president would say something like this, it would be potentially election altering because it's so insulting. This is unique for many reasons. The president's age, his foot in his mouth, the fact that Trump says what Trump says. Go ahead, Dave. Do you have the Trump comment, which was from just the last couple weeks when Trump mentions the word garbage? Here's Donald.
We're a dumping ground. We're like a garbage can for the world.
This is Donald talking about America. We're like a garbage can. So most years it would shape. This is a different year. What effect, if any, does this 24-hour news period have on the actual results of the race, Tom?
Well, a couple things here. A lot to unpack. Number one, former President Trump saying that other countries treat us like a garbage can is not him calling our country garbage or somebody's supporters garbage. Governor Walz, in fact, said this morning on Good Morning America that Trump has called this country garbage, which he has not done. He said other countries treat it like a garbage can. It seems clear to me what, and I know they have tried to walk it back. I heard one correspondent on CNN call it apostrophe gate.
Yeah.
They're trying to put the singular use of an apostrophe on the transcript so that it sounds like he's talking about just that one comedian whom I've never heard of before. We likely will never hear of again after this, trying to make it sound like he was only referring to him. But his exact words are his supporters are garbage. I don't know another way to interpret that.
That's it.
Now, how big of an impact it has remains to be seen, but it does undercut this wonderful narrative the Harris campaign was seizing on about that comedian calling Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that's been countered with the president of the United States saying that Trump's supporters are garbage. So that's why you hear Kamala Harris trying to walk this back. Tim Walz saying the president has clarified his remarks. There's nothing to see here. But what it does mostly is undercut that narrative that the Harris campaign had seized on for a few days now pretty effectively, and now that has been all but dismissed.
I'm trying to figure out, though, and you laid it out very well, I'm trying to figure out if the few folks, and it doesn't have to be much in the swing states, it really doesn't. I mean, you can win with 306 electoral votes like Trump did against Hillary and like Biden did against Trump, and really the separation isn't that much. I'm just wondering if this causes anybody who wasn't going to vote to vote. Does this cause any of the Nikki Haley type Republicans who really don't care for Trump as a person but agree with his policy to go, okay, I'm just going back to policy over personality if Biden's going to say it? And we got to say this again. Trump offers up insulting comments on a regular daily basis, enemy within, insulting the military, and all sorts of comments. That's a part of his daily routine. I just don't know if this is going to shape the few voters who might still somehow be undecided.
Yeah, and I agree with that. What it might do, both the comments by the comedian at the rally at Madison Square Garden and what President Biden said, might motivate some more people to get to the polls because they're angered by one of these things. But I don't think it's going to necessarily shape the race. It just takes away one of the political weapons the Harris campaign had on whatever passes for the high ground these days. I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
But you're right, this does not have the same resonance as it might have 20 years ago because the political discourse in this day and age is so caustic and so negative that it's really hard to upset anyone. I mean, we've had Nazis and Hitler and everything
fascists,
thrown into this.
Right.
It makes Hillary Clinton's comments about Trump supporters being a basket of deplorables kind of cute, kind of Disney compared to what we're hearing this year.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to go back to that. I'm glad you brought that up, where I saw that out again when she goes, well, half of his supporters, you know, and she lays out some of the criticism, they're deplorables. I felt like that did have some of an impact. You know, it was September. I think there were people who were kind of in the middle, might have voted, you know, might be centrist and just didn't like her campaign and found that condescending. I mean, with Trump right now, it appears, Tom, nothing sticks to him. No words stick to him at all. So I don't know if this is going to stick. It's going to stick to Biden, right? People saying, I mean, what if Joe Biden was still in the race right now? Trump would have a 7 or 8 point lead, I think. But I just don't know how big an effect it's going to have on Harris.
Yeah, and not a huge effect, but you don't need to have a huge effect. In a race this close, you need to have the tiniest margin of an impact, and it could be race-altering. And remember, it doesn't have to resonate nationally. It just has to resonate in about a dozen counties in like 5 or 7 states. I mean, that's how targeted all of this has become. It certainly was not helpful. And I know, well, I shouldn't say I know, I'm guessing we're going to see this Biden comment show up in some ads here in the closing days. And that is much more effective to hear the president of the United States use that language compared to a comedian nobody's ever heard of before. If you put it in an ad, it may be just enough to motivate enough Trump supporters who were thinking about, you know, they've got Trump fatigue and they were thinking about sitting it out. Maybe now they'll get up off the couch and go vote. But, you know, who knows?
Let's pause here. Get to Tom, including the latest KSTP Survey USA presidential poll involving Harris and Trump in this state. Hauser Mann, back in moments on CCO. All right, Hauser Mann is here. Tom Hauser, Channel 5, Channel 45, and here, WCCO Radio. Okay, the last poll from your station came out. If people missed it, tell people about it. and tell folks about any changes from the previous poll.
We have, in our poll, Kamala Harris up by 8 points, 51 to 43 over Trump. She went up 1 point from our last poll. He went down one. She was leading by 6 in our last poll. In the 4 surveys that she has been a part of since she became the candidate after Biden dropped out, she has led by 10 points, 5 points, 6 points, and now 8 points. So that kind of brings you up to speed with where we have been with our polling on the Harris-Trump match, and that will be our final poll.
MinnPost had a poll, I think, the day before yours, and it was closer. It was about a 3 percentage point lead. Did that surprise you? Obviously, we have a lot of polls that come out nationwide, and they're not all in sync. What was your reaction to that poll? You probably know in the KSDP poll already, but it was a day before it was released to the public.
Yeah, neither poll really surprised me because, you know, it's a pretty volatile race. I mean, it's been static in a lot of places, but in Minnesota, we're finally seeing the number of undecideds diminish. We're down to, in our poll, we're down to, I think, 3% who are undecided. And, you know, that obviously has a big impact on whether there's going to be much movement. Their poll was taken October 16th to the 22nd. Ours was done from the 24th to the 28th. So whether something happened in there, maybe because our poll was a little bit later, people are kind of finalizing in their mind who they're going to support, and maybe that's why there was a difference. My guess is it's not going to end up to be an 8-point race. My guess is Harris, you know, just because of our history, I'm not, you know, projecting Minnesota for Kamala Harris, but Republicans have won, you know, Democrats have won every year since 1972, as we all know. So I think the race, the margin is probably somewhere between 3 points and 8 points. I would not be surprised by either one of those. 4 years ago, our last poll had Biden, I think, up by 5 or 6, and he won by 7. And 4 years before that, we had Hillary Clinton up by, I think, an even greater margin, and she only won by 1.5. So the question is, have pollsters figured out how to nail down the Trump supporters?
Yeah, that's a big thing.
We're always told they're reluctant to respond to surveys. Pollsters say they've kind of figured out some of that, but, you know, we're going to get some more information here coming up on Tuesday.
So Walz comes out of nowhere, and he's selected as the VP. Let's say Walz is not the VP, and it's Josh Shapiro. Do you think this race would have been any more in play for the finances of the two campaigns? Because, you know, the ads we see now are mainly national buys. You know, there's a little bit of money spent here. And yeah, I mean, maybe it does turn out to be 3 points, and then some Republicans might say, wow, what if Trump would have spent some money? But this really, for the dollars compared to all the other swing states, the state has been borderline irrelevant, right?
Yeah, and, you know, and that 3 points, don't forget, that's like in the NFL, when you get down to the 3-yard line, you know, when you're playing between the 40s, it's pretty easy to gain some yardage.
Yeah, it's
once you get down
right
to the 3-yard line, trying to alter that is pretty difficult. I mean, you need some kind of a seismic event or shift to win even those last 3 points. I've often heard Minnesota is often called a sucker's bet because there will be polling that shows that it's very close, and then the Republicans will throw in a bunch of money, and then they still lose. And I think they've kind of banged their head against that wall enough times that they don't really try that anymore. Maybe it'll be in the next cycle something will shake loose. But those last 3 points, really difficult to overcome.
Tom Hauser's here. I want you to react to what's happened. I know you've reported also that the Supreme Court said that Hennepin County today incorrectly picked GOP absentee board judges. What is the significance of this, and how did this play out?
You know, it's more optics than anything else, because you know, the Republicans had put forward, what I think, 1,500 names, something like that, and none of them were selected. And so it just makes Hennepin County look like, well, they're going to select on behalf of the Republican Party, which gives Republicans another reason, kind of like a trunk full of ballots left, you know, unattended for 8 minutes at Edina City Hall, one more reason to question the security of our elections. And so that's what it is. It's more optics than anything else in terms of how much these election judges come into play on challenging ballots and that type of thing. It's fairly negligible, but it can be important if it comes down to a very close race like we had with Frank and Coleman, you know, back in 08.
I saw on your website what I just would classify as a not surprising but troubling story. When and we talk, what with Dave, we talk about it for a couple of days, but why, I don't know why anybody would want to be an election official anymore. It's just sad. You're doing your job. This isn't where you're going to make a killing, right? This is when you're, you know, all of a sudden you're buying that lake home on, up in the Brainerd area. And now for so much of the population, Tom, if you don't in the end, if your county, if your city, if your state doesn't select the candidate you want, the election officials get blamed. And you had multiple reporters work on how poll workers are now training on de-escalation. I'm not saying everyone is flawless. Mistakes happen. As we discussed right away, what happened in Edina, unforgivable, utterly ridiculous. The person should have been fired, and nothing like that should ever happen with the back of the vehicle open and the votes available, although the votes, by all accounting, the seal was not broken. But the fact that election officials need to be trained, Tom, in de-escalation tells you a lot where we are about our discourse.
Yeah, and I will just say every election official I've ever interviewed, whether it's in a blue county or a red county, you know, Republican or Democrat, they all just want to get it right. Most of them, if they do care who wins, they're never going to tell you, and they're not going to do anything that is going to cause there to be questions about the veracity of their elections, because guess what? They would lose their jobs. And these people are not independently wealthy who can afford to lose their jobs.
Right.
They just want to get it right. And for people to ascribe motivations to these people is just, it's one of those baffling things. It's part of the climate that we're in. And I don't know what can be done about it other than make sure you get it right and don't have questions raised like Hennepin County did by ignoring this list that the Republicans yep. put out. Treat both parties the same, count them all the same, and then you're not going to have these problems.
Tomorrow, if someone gets past the gate, gets past security, gets past the moat, and they arrive at the estate of Tom Hauser, what sort of candy will be given out to the kids who stop by?
Well, my daughter, Abby, was in charge of that this year. She has a variety of things, and she's very cognizant that some kids cannot have candy, cannot have nuts, cannot have certain things.
You're not giving apples out, are you?
No.
Okay.
But she has some non-candy options that go along with candy. And then we have a variety of chocolates and licorice and things like that. She wanted to be in charge of it. She did it. So we will have plenty to go around at our house.
Dave also tells me, because he did some insiding on that, that each kid will also get a photo of you while you're running. So an action shot of you running. Is that can you confirm Dave Harrigan's reporting?
Yes, and I will be wearing proper reflective gear. Since it will be it'll be nighttime, and kids, it's always about safety first. So
yes.
I will be leading by example, running by example.
Hauser's costume is just going to be him wearing all his medals.
Yeah. Yes.
Weighed down by 500 pounds
of
marathon
and telling
medals.
The kids, look at the medals, don't look me in the eye. I'm a TV star, and I'm a marathoner.
Yeah.
Medals, yes. Face level, eye level, no, not for you kids.
You want this kind of bling? Put the candy down.
Maybe an occasional mom can, you know, but not the kids. Not
you guys know me too well.
Thank you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
All right. Happy election season.
Best political reporter we have, Tom Hauser here on CCO. I had my story laid out here, Star Tribune, but then it had switched sites. Now I come back. Come on, where is the Jeff Day vasectomy talk? Okay, you're 40. You have not had a vasectomy yet, right?
Correct.
Are you considering that possibility?
Yes.
Could we carry it live on WCCO radio?
Anything in it for me?
Yeah, you get a vasectomy.
So CCO's covering the cost?
Well, I'll find a doctor.
Then I'm out.
I mean,
I'm not going with your guy.
Why not?
Because I have a feeling you're not going to be doing much work to find the greatest vasectomy doctor in the area.
We got to make somebody who's radio friendly, right?
I have a feeling you're just going to go for any Joe, Bob, Susie, or Joan that says, yeah, I'll take care of
that.
What's
wrong with Joe and Bob and all these other people that you're downplaying?
I'm not sure they're MDs. You might throw a white coat on somebody and say, yeah, they'll take care of you.
That's exactly what I would do. Listen.
I need credentials. I got to walk into that office.
Get out of here.
And I need to see that diploma up on the wall so that they can, you know, shame all of us that didn't work so hard in college.
Yeah, it's not like, okay, you're going to trust the business. It's not like you're saying, show me some of your previous work, like the painting situation.
Well, I could talk to some guys.
Okay.
Hey, Bob, how'd it go for you? Pretty good. Tim, everything in fine shape? Solid?
See, we're having a problem here because I don't know why my Star Tribune site is locking up on me right now.
Oh, you got issues.
Let's just get to the premise because I know the story. This couple went in. In fact, you printed it for me.
Sure did. I'm wondering when you're going to get to the paper copy you have next to you.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
I swear I printed that
one.
Huh?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, it's the one about vasectomy.
I wanted to have it, you know, right here in front of me.
Oh, you're a multimedia guy. You're not bound down, held down by paper.
Excuse me? I'm not bound when?
You heard me.
Okay. So this couple decides in 2008, we're going to get a vasectomy. He's going to get the vasectomy, but they had talked about it, okay? And they picked a place, Minnesota Urology, very recognizable in town, place that many people view as very reputable. And then guess what happened? 4 years later, turns out pregnant. 2018, the husband was 38, the wife was 33. They had three children under the age of five, both professionals, and decided we've had enough for a variety of reasons, and we're going to move on. Vasectomy took place. You have to bring a sample back. The sample said all good. Guess what? The sample was actually positive.
Misread.
Sadly, the person who incorrectly read the results has passed away way too young. At the age of 49. So this vasectomy happens in 18. Then in late March, the wife finds out she's 15 weeks pregnant. Then he goes back, and guess what? He has his semen tested once again. And guess what? It's now read properly. And what is it, Dave Ergen?
Positive.
That's positive. So they now are going after Minnesota Urology. It's a legal argument of wrongful conception. I'm not going to get into all the legal part because we could. They've retained an economics professor, calculated the cost of raising a child somewhere between $300,000 and $600,000. They're also seeking $6 million related to the loss of earning capacity. Talking about how their professional lives were changed again. Jeff Day has all the details. Here's my question, though, If this happened to any one of us, what do you do? What do you do? I've said before, this is a transparent show. For a couple of years, Kathleen and I talked, do we want to have another child? Hunter and Griffin were born in 95 and 96, and 17 months apart. And I had a very busy schedule back then. It was tough, in particular on Kathleen. There was a lot of responsibility in her. And by 99, things are settling down just a little bit. You know how busy that is. Everybody, most people listening know that, whether it's they live that life or people close to them. And we talked a lot. And in the end, we decided maybe we're good. And we were using birth control. And I was on a, this will shock you, golf trip to Scotland. And also got a phone call that changed my life. Caused me to never call a game for the Arizona Cardinals, which I had agreed to do. And I was going to go bounce back and forth with the Wolves and the Fan. But that's among the greatest calls of my life, if not the greatest call of my life. Because Quentin was born. That created the scenario where Quentin would be born. It was a jolt. But even with every moment where Quentin has struggled, including recently his seizure and his syndrome and all that, he's my hero. Thank God birth control did not work for us. Can't imagine any part of my life without any of the three. What do you think most people would do? And do you fault them for doing this? It's a very personal decision. But they had decided with three, for reasons including professionally, that they were going to move forward. And they went to a place, very good place, well respected. And the results were wrong. Vasectomy didn't work. I have no idea how often that happens. But should have been told, guess what? You're still positive. Results were read wrong. They now are going after the doctors with claims of up to $6 million. How do you wrestle with that? Because you certainly don't want the child in any way to feel like we're regretful that you're here. You don't want that to come out.
Hopefully they never Google your names.
Yeah. That's part of this dilemma, right? Because when the child reaches a certain age and the child is, you know, this is young, maybe their explanation is right on tone, right on note, and at an age of comprehension, and I'm not questioning their parenting in any way, none, zero, zilch. Maybe they explain it away. Maybe the child takes it the other way. But if this is something you pursued and you trusted the results and you had reasons that tens of millions of other parents would say, I get it. And by the way, if no other parent agree with you, you're still allowed to do it. They were breaking the law. Oh my God, they're getting a vasectomy. Who knows how many vasectomies are taking? Are more people visiting all the pizza ranches all across America today than getting vasectomies? I don't know. Tying back to a previous story on the show. What do you do? Can you think of what you would do?
I think I would say, well, I guess we're having another child. Let's dig in and figure out how we're going to do this.
You can do that, though, and also do this, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's in my nature to go that far. But like I think you are saying, I'm not saying they're wrong for doing it either. No.
I'm not saying they're bad people.
No,
in any way?
Not at all. I'm questioning the $6 million. That seems a bit outrageous, but I don't know their finances. I don't know their jobs. Maybe it's not.
Yeah. Moving to Chicago, opportunities, both are successful. You know, that could be, hey, we're putting a bigger number on there right now.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you put the big number hoping you get half of that or something like
that? You're not coming out and saying, hey, for $5,000, we're all good and we still have a child.
That'd be a little high for me still.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't fault them for taking this route.
Right.
And I really don't.
And there's a big legal part of this, too, that I didn't get into, which another host could say, let's talk about the legal part of it. And we talk legal frequently. But I just thought the parental, the love, and also the reality. If you have three kids, who I'm sure you care for immensely, and you've decided, you know, we only have so much time in the day, and we want to make sure we're amazing parents to them, and also we want to be fulfilled in other parts of our life. And all of a sudden, this happens.
Yeah.
That is incredibly disruptive. And also someone might say, incredibly amazing. But if you've decided you don't want to pursue a fourth and you go to a doctor's office, a high-quality doctor's office, and someone literally misreads the data, do you just say, okay, fine, it happened and we have our child?
I think I probably would, but, I mean, part of the concern for me, as we mentioned, you know, what does that child think growing up if they find out about this whole situation? What are their, you know,
that's
what are their siblings going to say to that fourth child, if they, I'm sure they have at least some idea that, you know, something's going on where mom and dad aren't exactly super thrilled that this fourth child is on the way.
Can you be elated that a child is here and also mad and feel like there's legal proof that a doctor's office didn't live up to what they told you?
Yeah. I think you can.
Right? Let's do this. I want to hear from people. You want to elaborate with a phone call? You want to text? What do you think? Do you have any idea what you would do? What is your reaction to this very unique vasectomy story? Also, if you want to share with, when did you get your vasectomy? U.S. Open 2007.
Oh, very nice.
Angel Cabrera holds off Tiger Woods and Jim Furyk.
Where was that one at?
Oakmont.
Sure.
Frozen peace. I mean, it all comes together. What do you want to say about this vasectomy story? It's 49 past 2. 651-461-9226. Among the texts coming in, 651-461-9226, was that Dr. Susie Jones? No, it was not Dr. Susie Jones involved in the story. Another text, trust the process. I think a lot of people would just trust that process and say, okay. We now have a fourth child in some ways, you know, with Kathleen on birth control. And, I mean, another part of this, I went to my doctor and said, well, it's time for me to get a vasectomy. And my doctor then, still doctor, said, well, I encourage all my friends still to wait a couple months. And so when we waited, thankfully, we found out Quentin was going to arrive. Did you hear this story or were you doing something else?
Oh, I heard it.
Okay. What do you think?
It's complicated, right? Because vasectomies don't always work.
Yeah.
And I had a vasectomy, and they test you. They're like, looks good. Mm-hmm. But I guess I was never under the illusion that it was 100% guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And again, just a reminder on this one for the folks just tuning in. Vasectomy happens, turn in the sample, they say all is good.
Looks good.
You know, you're no longer
no swimmers.
No swimmers, you're done.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out the nurse read the results wrong.
Right. What so a little different
than,
because she screwed up and she's dead.
And she's dead. She's passed away.
So she can't explain herself.
Right.
Not that you remember.
Right. It seems like she just made mistakes happen.
Made a mistake.
Mistakes happen. Do you think most people view the parents as wrong?
Yes.
For going after.
Yes.
I think they do. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, Because what you're asking a court to do in this case is put a dollar figure on the distress that has been caused you for having a child. I mean, that's, I hope they had a good long conversation with the lawyer. Like, are you sure you want to file this? Like, it's interesting.
Right.
But if there was negligence, you know, I mean, also, like, if you take your emotions out of it and say, well, when they read the labs, you expect that they're telling you the correct results.
Yeah.
Now, isn't there some other check and balance in the process where, like, okay, the one person gives you the wrong results, fine, but, like, doesn't – I mean, somebody else saw these results.
I doubt it, right? You know, a place like Minnesota Urology has a lot of patients.
It's probably in a file. It's accurate results were in a file.
Right. You know, it's –
and maybe there should be another check. I don't know. That's what the lawsuit is for, I guess.
Right, right. And then, as you heard me, I didn't get into – because the legal part of it's interesting too. I get how a lot of people are going to be mad at the parents. I'm not automatically mad at the parents. I don't see a scenario where I would follow that path.
Mm-hmm.
But if they had given this great thought, and this is what they wanted to do, including already having three children,
right,
and trying to map out a profession along with that, including potentially moving to Chicago. Now,
how's this kid going to feel in, like, 15 years?
That's what we were talking about. How do you have that?
My kids were mad that I had YouTube videos of them, like, taking baths and reading, like, little kid stories.
Never let them see fireworks.
Woof. Sad.
Let's not forget that. You never brought them to fireworks. The conversation with the child at whatever level of maturity they decide is going to be a complicated story. Oof. And a complicated conversation where you're expressing your love, but you're also trying to...
It's good fodder. I mean, we appreciate them for filing this lawsuit. Give us some good material.
I needed two segments?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Snip, snip.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. Yeah. Maybe snip, not snip.